Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Resurrection Sunday morning service. And it's just such a joy to be here with you in spirit through the internet. And just such a joy just to think about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's turn in our Bibles today to Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 and 6. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you seek. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." The next passage is Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." And 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 21 and 22. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your grace which has been given unto us. We pray you would speak to our hearts and minister to us richly this morning. And you would fill each one of us with joy even as we watch the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I was just thinking today about this theme of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was really edified and encouraged by the Good Friday messages from Pastor Chris and Pastor Benny on the dedication of our Lord and Him answering the Father's will so that we could have this gift of salvation. And when we think about the subject of the resurrection, we can just think about what does it mean to us today as Christians. And firstly, we need to understand when we read Romans chapter 5 that it talks about this aspect of the basic realities of life. It says in Romans 5:19, "By one man's disobedience many were made sinners," and it's talking about Adam. "And so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous," and it is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is talking about two headships, what we call two federal headships. Adam represented the human race, and then the Lord Jesus Christ would come and he would do something, and those who would come under him would receive a certain kind of benefits. And in these two headships we see is the whole gospel message. So in under Adam's headship, what we received was sin, imputed sin in Romans 5:12. And though we did not sin exactly like Adam, we see that his sin had consequences to us, and that consequence was physical death. So all people in Adam would physically die, and they were imputed with his sin. Then the sin nature passed down from generation to generation, and then each person individually sinned before God. That was our state under Adam. But under Christ, everything changes. So we see what the first thing we need to understand is each leader or each head, based upon what he has done, there is a consequence to those under him, whether it is a benefit or it is something negative. And under Adam, we see the consequence is death, physical death, spiritual death, separation from God, and so on and so forth. But when we come under Christ, there are all the privileges because of what Jesus did through his obedience to the Father, they come to us. And I was just thinking about this. When you think about the resurrection of the Lord in Matthew 28, when the angel said, he is not here, he is risen. The only thing which comes to my mind in a big way is the word grace. Based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did through his suffering, his passion, his crucifixion on the cross, his death on the cross, his burial in the tomb by the people, and his rising from the dead on the third day, is something beautiful happens. And what is that? That now, based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved for us, when he said it is finished on the cross, there are tremendous privileges now which have come to us. And what are those privileges? I just made a list of those privileges. And this is not a comprehensive list, but we can think about this as we are at home. This is all from the book of Romans, from Romans chapter 1 to 8. In Romans 3, verse 25, is the word whom God set forth as a propitiation. So the first thing is propitiation. And what is propitiation? Propitiation is the Godward side. That God the Father was angry with sin. His justice had to pass a judgment on sin. And that divine wrath on the sins of the whole of mankind, all the sins of the whole human race, that divine wrath was poured out on Jesus completely. And today now, God the Father's divine wrath has been totally satisfied through the death, through the shed blood, through the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now God is totally at a place where he can be totally just, but he is also totally free to give grace to a sinful world. So that's the first thing, propitiation. The divine wrath against sin was totally satisfied by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, therefore, God can be at a place where we can extend free, unmerited grace to the whole human race, to the gospel message. The second thing we see in verse 24, through the redemption. And the redemption means, it means setting free by paying a price, or setting free by paying the price in full. So we were set free from our sin with the price which was paid, which was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that payment, the shed blood, was paid in full. That means Jesus paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. And when we believed in him, we were given redemption. That means the payment was done in full. The third thing we see in verse 26, we were imputed with his righteousness. That's also there in Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. We were imputed with his righteousness. And what does righteousness mean? It means two things. One thing is, it is to prove a person is innocent. The second thing it means is, if a person is not innocent, to make him innocent. And we were made that way, as if we had never sinned, through what Jesus did for our sins on the cross. So we are imputed with his righteousness, the third thing. The fourth thing we see is we have justification, or we are justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God. That's our position. That means there can never be enmity with God again, or war with God again. We have peace with God. That's a settled position. The fifth thing we see in Romans 5:5, he pours out his Holy Spirit and his agape love into our hearts in Romans 5:5. In Romans 5:11, we have received the reconciliation. We who were enemies to God, when we were enemies, but when we were without strength, when we were ungodly, and many other things, God has reconciled. And now the enmity between us and God is removed. And now we have been reconciled unto God in Romans 5:11. That's the sixth one. The seventh one we see in Romans 6:6 is our old man has been crucified with him, and therefore we have been set free from the bondage of sin. Now, because we are under the headship of Jesus, we are not under the headship of Adam and sin. We are under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, sin cannot rule over us. In Romans 6:6. In the seventh one, that was the seventh one, sorry. The eighth one we see in Romans 8:1, for us there is no condemnation in Christ. We can never be condemned again. The ninth one we see in Romans 8:11, that the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus is available to us to quicken our mortal bodies so that we can overcome sin in our experiential life. That's also there in Romans 8 verse 13. The tenth one we see, we have received the adoption as children, therefore we can cry out, Abba, Father. In the 11th point we see in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's assurance. The 12th point we see in verse 17, we are joint heirs with Christ. The 13th point we see in Romans 8:24, we have hope that he will come for us in the future and he will take us home. In the 14th point we see in 8:26 of Romans, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. In our 15th point in Romans 8:28, it says, all things are working together for our good. In our 16th point, Romans 8:29 and 30, God has an eternal plan for us. And in the 17th point in Romans 8:31, God is on our side. In the 18th point in Romans 8:32, He will freely give us all things. He who did not spare, he will freely give. Nothing is withholded from us. In our 19th point, in Romans 8:34, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us in 8:34. And in Romans 8:35 to 8:39, in the 20th point, there is no separation from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No situation can separate us. And what do we see here? We see here, and this is just a list which I have made. You may find more points. And this is just from Romans chapter 1 to Romans 8. This is all the privileges and benefits you and I have received and the whole world can potentially receive because of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. And that is so beautiful to us, and it is all grace. It is all grace. And that is such an encouragement. The only word which keeps ringing in my mind is, because of the resurrection of the Lord, he did it once and for all in the book of Hebrews. We see it is all grace now to you and to me. In conclusion today, we see in John chapter 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. I love that verse because God is such a good God. He's such a beautiful God. He's such a gracious God. He loved the whole world. He did not leave any person out. He loved the whole world. And today, through what Jesus has done, through his death, burial, and resurrection, the whole world is potentially savable. And what I mean by that is that Jesus has died for the sins of the whole world. But an individual, after they hear the gospel, needs to make that choice to accept him as their savior, to receive the full benefits of this gift of salvation. That is why Jesus has died for the whole world. What else do we see? Secondly, we are blessed. Hallelujah. Romans 4:8, blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. That word Markarios, we are totally blessed. Totally blessed. Our starting point starts with heaven. You know, most religions, they are working so hard, hoping and believing that in the end they will reach heaven. For us, the beginning point the starting point of salvation, accepting Jesus, gives us the promise of heaven and the assurance of heaven. And the Bible says we are eternally secure and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are totally blessed. What is the third thing we see? This is really beautiful. We have a personal relationship with the living God, which is personal, which is direct, and which is one-on-one. And I hope and believe that you are really enjoying your personal relationship at home in the lockdown, because it is only God and you, and maximum it is your family members, right? So enjoy the personal relationship with the living God. And lastly, and I love this, that God didn't just give us eternal life. God didn't say, okay, you are a sinner. Now I've changed your position from hell and I'll put you into heaven. No, God just didn't give us that much. But he said, I'm going to give myself to you. And that is so beautiful. He gave his life on the cross for us, the Lord Jesus. He was buried and he rose again. And today, we not only have a personal relationship with God, but we have the Lord himself in our lives. And that is so beautiful today. In closing, let us be encouraged this Resurrection Sunday. Let us be encouraged. Let us remember, let us meditate on these blessings which have come to us. This great grace which has come to each one of us through the death, the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let it warm our hearts and let it, edify us in our minds to know that we are greatly loved, that God has made us his children, that God has a plan for us, and we don't have to worry about the future. We don't have to be anxious or wondering what will happen or live in any kind of fear, because Jesus conquered death in 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is sin, and Jesus conquered death, and so death has no more hold on us. So let's be encouraged today that we are remembering historically that the Lord has risen from the dead. He is the resurrected Lord. He will no longer die again in Romans chapter 6. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And he is serving the Father. And he has a perfect plan for each one of us. And we can just rest in him and relax and enjoy this relationship with him. And we can worship him and praise him and thank him all the days of our life. Yeah? Here's wishing you, each one of you and your families, the joy of the resurrection, the joy of the risen Lord, right, to each one of you. A virtual hug to you and a virtual handshake, virtual kiss to each one of you and all the children. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being our God. Your word says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy Easter for all of you. It's a great privilege to be in the presence of Lord with the hope of resurrection. Let's all prepare ourselves for the communion. As we are worshiping God during this Easter service, the entire world is facing an unprecedented crisis. Wherever we look at it, is sickness, death, fear, loss and grief. As lately as February 2020, everyone were of the impression that they were in control and everything comes under the faculties of their powers. But now it's lost. The pandemic sadly has brought us a reminder that the world is broken and the race of Adam is a fallen race, and anything which originates from this can never have the triumphant cry, "It is finished," as we heard in yesterday's message. But Blessed are we, the believers. Our Lord Jesus Christ has instituted communion and asked us to do it in remembrance of it. What does this signify? As we look at the elements of the communion, bread and wine, in John 6:48, it says, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And John chapter 6 verse 58 says, He that eateth of this bread shall live forevermore. For this broken world and fallen man, Christ gave his body to be broken so that he can give life to the dead race of Adam. So it is a life-giving bread. Jesus Christ is a life-giving bread. And secondly, he is also the life-sustaining bread. Our life is sustained by feeding on him, his word of God. As we today look at feeding, for our physical feeding, we have a regular plan of meal for every day. And also we have special occasions like feasts where and celebrations where we enjoy the feasting. But when it comes to spiritual feeding, we relegate the daily plan and we depend on the feasts and celebration which gracefully God has instituted through the body of Christ and which our pastors and teachers imparted. And this is now a reminder for us to also to come in to feed on Christ on a daily basis. This is a great privilege. Life is given and it is sustained and it is forever. That is the significance of this bread. And when we look at the blood, the cause for the brokenness is the sin. And as it is in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It exacts life through death. But in Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no release from sin and its guilt. So Christ shed his blood, gave his life in our stead, and purchased us through that as his possession. And he is offering us freely to us. It's a great assurance. And he has paid it in full. We receive it by grace through faith. So he has purchased it, and he is giving it, and he sustains it, and it is forever. And Apostle Paul gives us two commands. One is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. He asks the members of the body of Christ to hold forth this word of life. And where to hold forth of this word of life is in verse 15. Among the world where ye shine as lights. So we are a lighthouse placed here in this world with this symbol of bread and wine, offering hope to the world. And secondly, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. As we think of this, let us comprehend of these facts and give thanks to our God, and let us partake of the bread and wine. Let us partake of our bread. And let us partake of wine. Thank you, Lord, for this great privilege and provision which you have given to us. In this uncertainty, you have given us a certain hope, Lord. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We pray for the remainder of our service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Easter Sunday morning. And isn't it great to be also listening at home, though we cannot meet together? Now that we cannot meet together, we can't wait to come together, isn't it? So we miss each other, and and the reason we miss each other is because God has united us together as a body. Isn't that amazing? So we feel the loss of the other body member right now. So, but let's continue to pray, believe, and God will bring a sure remedy for this situation that we are in. Okay? Now for the second part of the message, we have a few scripture portions. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and now notice this, has begotten us again unto a lively hope or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time. The second scripture portion is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read just one verse. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless this portion to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's turn to John chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John chapter 20 and 21 are devoted to the facts of resurrection that are recorded historically in the Gospels. Okay, these chapters are devoted to resurrection. And there are many things that we can glean now that we are at home and we keep reading together as a family. We keep fellowshipping together and meditating. God can speak to our hearts in a very special way and really enrich our hearts and minds about the beauty and the value of what resurrection is to our lives. In chapter 20, we see that a lady by name Mary Magdalene is going to the sepulchre. John records only about Mary Magdalene going there, but she was actually in the company of other women, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joanna, Salome, and other gospels record there were also other women with them, and Mary Magdalene. But John omits other women and only mentions about Mary Magdalene to bring out a unique point here. And so we see that these women went to the tomb early in the morning, and they had their conversation on the way. Who will roll away the stone from the sepulchre for us? But we read in Matthew chapter 28 that an angel came, rolled away the stone and sat on it. And then these women come, and they had brought spices with them. These women come, and angels have their conversations with them. Whom are you seeking? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Couple of conversations, and told them that he is not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. So Mary Magdalene, along with the other women, see the empty tomb. They go in. They see the place where Jesus Christ was laid, with clothes lying there, but the body is missing. Now look at this. Mindset that Mary Magdalene had. She saw the empty tomb. She was with other women, and other gospels record it. She saw the empty tomb, and what does the empty tomb mean to us? She has seen that. She saw the body is not there. And then angels give the reason. The angel tells them, the reason you don't see him here is because he is risen. and go tell his disciples that he goes before them to Galilee to meet them there. So here are two things. Mary Magdalene sees the empty tomb. God shows her the empty tomb, right? Secondly, she saw the angels and she also heard what the angels told her. And she heard that he is not there because he is risen. All right? Now, these women depart in two companies, Mary Magdalene by herself and the other women. And on the way, Jesus met them. But first, Jesus meets Mary Magdalene. But after that, in Matthew chapter 28 records that Jesus met these other women and they held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus greeted them with all hail. Okay, now, Mary Magdalene, the first thing she does is, before the other women could reach the disciples, she runs. She was a good runner. She runs. And look at verse 2 of John chapter 20, verse 2. She runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto them. Now look at this. Mary Magdalene already saw the empty tomb. She also saw the angels and heard what the angels spoke to her. But this is the report she gives the disciples. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we do not know where they have laid him. Think about this. She didn't see Jesus yet, but she did see the empty tomb, and she did hear what the angels spoke. But the report she gives the disciples is that they have taken away the body of Jesus Christ. They have taken away, and we do not know where they have laid him. She's a great woman of God, but she is still unbelieving at this time. She's still unbelieving. One thing was certain, that when she went to the sepulchre, she did not expect a resurrection that morning. Because she was determined in her heart that the body of Jesus is going to be there and she is going to take the body away. That was a decision that she had in mind. So certainly, she was not expecting a resurrection that morning. But was she devoted to the Lord? Absolutely. She was absolutely devoted to the Lord, but she was not expecting a resurrection. Her devotion that day, we all do our morning devotions, right? Her devotion that day was not based on hope. She was still living on memory. Just think about this. She is not thinking in terms of hope. Because hope cannot be cut off from resurrection. But she's still living on memory. And imagine a devotion that is not based on hope, but only on memory. She would have had a lot of moments to recall how wonderful Jesus was to her. How Jesus helped her be delivered from the 7 demons that possessed her, the great things that he has done. And she would have had wonderful, sweet memories of Jesus because of what Jesus has done for her. Sweet memories, but it would not have been based on hope in terms of who Jesus would be to her hereafter. Now, sometimes when loved ones in our family pass away, they go home to be with the Lord. A lot of our thoughts about them are based on the memories we have of them. But it is also good to have our thoughts about them based on the hope of seeing them one day in heaven along with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So here, Mary Magdalene has a devotion. She is devoted to the Lord. She loves the Lord. But that devotion is not based on hope, she is still living on her memory of who Jesus was to her. Right? And then we see this chapter progresses, and Peter and John both run to the tomb. Peter stands, Peter outruns John and goes into the sepulchre. John comes into the at the door of the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But Peter goes in, sees everything wrapped together in a place by itself, and they go back wondering what happened. And then we see that Mary doesn't go with them. Mary stands there and she is weeping in verse 11. And the two angels now has a talk with Mary. And they ask, why are you weeping? And look at the response of Mary. In verse 11, she says, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. This, she is talking back to the angels. Okay? Was she still expecting a resurrection that morning? I don't think so. But she had sweet memories of her Lord. Now, in verse 14 to 17, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. She sees him, he calls out her name personally, and as a result of that, she identifies him. Isn't that amazing? He didn't have to say, I am Jesus, I am risen from the dead. He just called out her name in verse 16, and she identifies him. And then Jesus tells her, go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead. And now she comes again to the disciples, and her second report to the disciples, the first report was that they have taken away the body of my Lord. The second report, after she has seen Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, she gives her second report to the disciples. The second report is that Jesus is risen from the dead and that she had seen the Lord. Now, I just want to point out a thought on hope, and I'll close with this. You know, it is possible for us to be easily cut off from hope if we become unmindful of the fact of resurrection, the truth and the doctrine that relates to resurrection, and the promises that are still pending for us that pertains to resurrection. So if there has to be hope, and the one reason that Mary Magdalene could not be hopeful that day morning was because she in her heart was somehow not convinced that Jesus was risen from the dead. So inasmuch as she had sweet, wonderful memories of her Lord, and she even loved her Lord, still her devotion was not based on hope. It was only based on the memories that she had about the Lord. But Jesus reinstated her back in hope, because it is not really good to live without hope. A believer, one thing that must characterize a believer is that no matter what happens, or what is happening, or what has happened, or what will happen, he is very hopeful because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's what is mentioned in 1 Peter 1:3. We are begotten into a living hope by nothing else but by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, to let go of hope in our lives is to eventually question our faith. It is to eventually get us to live in remorse and regret. It is eventually to get us to live in our past rather than the expectation of what God can do with us henceforth. So God gives us a living hope. And it is very critical, and the only way to, and it is, hope is not something that we manufacture in life. We cannot. Hope is not something that we manufacture in life, and we cannot manufacture hope, but hope is something that is born in us as a result of believing the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same tone is brought about by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he says, actually if you read from verses 13 to 20, we see that if Christ is not risen from the dead, then what are we doing here? In many words, he says that. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. We are found to be false witnesses. And then he goes on to make this very important point. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then you are still in your sins. And if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we are of all men to be most pitied, and we are of all men most miserable, because if this is the life all, if it's all about this life, then what are we living for if this life is all about this life only? Isn't it? So Christ goes on to say, in fact, Apostle Paul goes on to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an absolute critical necessity for every believer to be reassured in the hope that is awaiting him. Now look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll quickly close. Apostle Paul brings out this beautiful point. He said, in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. Think about this. In Adam all die. And I was just thinking of a couple of points here. The best we have in Adam cannot infuse hope into us. The best we have in Adam cannot infuse hope into us, because all that is of Adam is ultimately condemned to the grave, and it falls short of resurrection. So if what is of Adam is condemned to the grave and falls short of resurrection, then even the best that we can imagine that one can have in Adam cannot really infuse hope in us. But on the contrary, even if there is the smallest or the slightest glimmer of hope that we have in Christ, even the smallest or the slightest glimmer of hope that we have in Christ, and God gives it to us as we walk by faith before Him, the slightest glimmer of hope that one can have in Christ can eventually be brought to life and fruition. And the reason is because it is authenticated by resurrection. So in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. So the slightest hope that we have in Christ concerning our life here and what is to come is something that can be infused with, is something that can be infused with life, because, and we become very hopeful in the sense that our hope is not subject to despair or disappointment, because that which we are hoping in Christ is authenticated by the truth and the fact of what resurrection is. Isn't that amazing? Now look at this. In Adam all die. Now if in Adam all die, just as an application, then on the other hand, it also means that Adam's dominion ends with death. That's it. Because Adam will not be resurrected by God. So if Adam will not be resurrected by God, then Adam's dominion will end in death. But on the contrary, again, if in Christ we shall be made alive, then it also means that all that we have in Christ to enjoy is made possible in resurrection life. Just think about this. So here in Adam, all experience spiritual death. But then God also saw to it that Adam's dominion ends with death. God sees to it that on a daily basis for all, that Adam's dominion ends with death, and we can be sure of the fact that what is of Adam, God will never resurrect. Then again, on the other hand, when the promise is given that in Christ all shall be made alive, then we can be assured that all that we have in Christ to enjoy. Christ is the head of the new creation today. He is our new boss. Adam was a federal head of the old creation, and all that was in Adam has been summed up by Christ and nailed it to the cross and did away with it in Colossians chapter 2. And Christ is now the last Adam and the second man, the head of a new creation, and we are part of that. And all that we have in Christ to enjoy in terms of a new creation life is made possible to us, not in Adam, it's made possible to us in resurrection life. Is that amazing? What a hope awaits us today and forever. What amazing hope. Yeah, our life can be built on very sweet memories of the past in terms of what God did for us, how God answered our prayers, how God showed himself to be faithful. Yes, our life can be built on the very lot of sweet memories. But if those memories are not to be subject to disappointment as days go by, or grief in terms of those memories as days go by, that means our life must also be built on hope in terms of what God is able to do with us today and in the future. And it is resurrection that gives us that hope. Isn't that amazing? So let's take this day, let's ponder about the amazing fact of resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Apostle Paul first testifies about the fact of resurrection and then gives the doctrine of resurrection. And then he says, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God in verse 57, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are begotten constantly. Our life can be built on beautiful memories. But if it's only memories and if it is cut short of hope, then eventually those memories will turn out to be a form of grief in terms of not being able to enjoy those in the present. Enjoy what we enjoyed of God in the past, in the present. But if our life is also built on hope, we can always live in a renewed anticipation and expectation of the greater things that God is able to do with our lives from today and henceforth. And the moment Mary Magdalene's life went beyond beautiful memories into being reinstated with tremendous hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, she turned out to be an incredible believer in church history. And let's build our life on the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. He has conquered the grave. He's paid for our sins. He is risen from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the hope that is given to us, the living hope that is given to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is something that will keep us right on in terms of the possibilities that we can have to enjoy and to realize what Christ has for us in our new creation life, because that is authenticated by the truth of resurrection for each one of us. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you, and have a blessed, wonderful Easter. And let's rejoice in the fact that Christ is risen and we are risen with him, and we are never hopeless. We could be helpless many times. For example, a situation like this can make us to think in a helpless way, but that is okay. Because when we are helpless, we get to see Christ as our strength. But God never brings us to a place of being hopeless. And the reason is because Christ is risen from the dead, and therefore we are begotten to a living hope that can never be taken away from us. Thank God for the sweet, beautiful memories of God's faithfulness toward us in the past, but also thank God for the living hope that we are reassured in on a daily basis because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So have a blessed Easter and enjoy your day, and happy Easter to all of you, and looking forward to seeing all of us meet together as this lockdown period gets over. And let's be praying for one another, build one another up, call one another if you get time, and wish them and let them hear your voice, because we really have started missing each other big time. And let not any kind of psychological stress or anything of that sort discourage us in any way, because let's be reassured of the fact that Christ is risen from the dead and we have a lively hope. And this hope will never be subject to disappointment, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. Amen. And God bless you and have a wonderful day. Thank you.